AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Well, I didn't have my football for the first 2 hours. Will Doctor in for Joe George. Where's Joe today? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. You can catch Will Doctor every Saturday morning. Will Doctor Golf Hour.
8 to 9 Saturday morning. If you miss it live, subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
And then also you're doing your, I forget the name of where your podcast lives, with your golf previews, your betting previews each week?
Yeah, that's on Pregame every Tuesday. I've been doing that for 4 years and hoping to bring that over to the show soon as well.
Yeah, he crushes it. He'll give you some plays a little bit later on. We're going to talk a little bit about that. A little bit about Tiger. Which tour should he go to? It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very intrigued by that, where Tiger plays next year. 713-780-3776. Wrong answers only. Where's Joe? Joe's putting on lipstick, getting pretty for his colonoscopy. I do have an idea, Brian. I think that I am getting close to that age, I think. Like, what age are you supposed to be to get a colonoscopy?
I think it's 50.
Okay, well, I like to be proactive.
I'm just going to do it for funsies?
It's recommended starting at the age of 45. No, I did. I mean, I've had.
See, I thought it was 45, but then my own doctor a few years ago told me 50. So I don't know. Maybe it differs in the medical community.
I've had a family member that had colon cancer and passed away. So I would like to do it early, just because, like, they say that's the most treatable cancer if they find it early. There was the lady on the Today Show back in the day. I forget her name. She did a colonoscopy live on TV.
No way.
Yeah.
Was it Katie Couric? I think,
yes, it was. It was Katie Couric. Because, like, the 25-year anniversary was, like, kind of recently, and they did a recap on it, and it was Katie Couric.
Couric's goaded.
Live colonoscopy on the air?
Didn't Fred Fowler talk about doing this? But he never.
I don't know.
I know he at least talked about it. He might have done it.
Also live on the air?
Yeah. But I don't think he did it.
Just
I think
throw
he talked
the crap out there to get clicks.
There is a place, a reputable place. It's got to be reputable.
That job has never worked better.
Has
than
to
this
be
time.
Reputable. Has to be a reputable place. And also, they take our insurance that we use here at Count Media. Shout out HRMP. I'm willing to do things.
What, you want to have one soon?
I mean,
are we talking in the new year?
If they wanted to be a sponsor of the show,
Jeremy Branham here for colonoscopies.
What? Why not?
How old are you?
I believe in preventative health care. Don't ask me that. Well, I'm 40.
He's 40.
I'm 40.
Did they just lower the age? It used to be 50, right? Now it's 40?
I guess so. Google AI is wrong all the time. But it says no. It says for individuals at average risk of blah, 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 colonoscopy is recommended starting at the age of 45. However, your personal or family history of colon cancer, you may need to start screening earlier. So I wouldn't mind. I would do it now. If there is anybody listening who is a colonoscopist, is that what they call them?
Sure.
If there's anybody out there that's a colonoscopist and you have a reputable practice.
You don't want any back alley colonoscopies.
And you're looking for a place to spend your marketing dollars, we can do business.
Branham's open for business.
Well, I'm open to have a lunch and talk about it.
Is that the butthole doctor?
Yeah. That's a less classy way to say it, but yeah. It's not inaccurate.
That's not how Jeremy would have described it.
That's not how we're going to talk about our new partners.
You're not going to refer to them as that during the live reads?
No. No.
You have a tagline in mind for the end of the live reads?
I haven't really brainstormed it yet.
Come on. Let's see what you can come up with.
No, but I mean, I would do this. I don't know who does this kind of. I mean, I'm sure you
I have
just
no
go
doubt
to normal,
that you would. That part I definitely believe.
Yeah, if you have a colonoscopist practice, and you're looking for a place to spend your marketing dollars, and I'm looking to get screened because I want to be preventative with my health care. I think that's what we really screw up as Americans, though. Like, sincerely here for a second, I think that we're not preventative enough when we look at our health care. I think we're reactive and not proactive, and I think it's a problem. Hot take.
I really believe that. Got serious on the show all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe that. Like, we spend all of our time reacting to when something major happens to us. Why aren't we proactive about it, you know? I think we could be more proactive about our healthcare. My wife bought me a book of, like, living, like, I forget what it's called. Like, it's Live to 80 or something. I think it's called Outlive.
Eat, Pray, Love, is that what it's called?
No, she buys me a lot of books, though. She's trying to change who I am. 713-780-3776.
Classic mistake.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rick, maybe he's a colonoscopy doctor. Rick, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, love your show. I'm a physician. I just wanted to chime in on the colonoscopy recommendation. So it used to be age 50 for the general public, and then that got changed. The recommendations got changed to age 45 in 2018 by the American Cancer Society. For those who have a family history, like a first-degree relative, you can get a. I would encourage you to get a colonoscopy as early as age 30. So that's just for screening. If you don't have symptoms. If you do have symptoms such as bleeding or abdominal pain, unexplained weight loss, then you should see your physicians and have them guide you accordingly. So I just wanted to chime in and give my 2 cents on that PSA.
Hey, Rick, can we do the screening on air? I mean, would that be possible?
We'll talk offline.
Maybe Zoom? Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it, though, sincerely. I know we're like having a little bit of levity with this conversation, but it is a serious thing. I firmly believe that.
I think that'd be perfect for Twitch.
Twitch would love it. Thank you. This is a weird conversation because we're like half having like a levity with it, and the other half like we're being sincere. I do appreciate the call, Rick, and giving us a little bit of clarity on that. And I do firmly believe that we should be proactive with our healthcare. And I am willing to get a colonoscopy for a sponsor. 713-780-3776.
I did get a little nervous when he went into the symptoms for a second. I was like, oh no, there's going to be something here that...
Did you expect what he said?
No, I was expecting something more graphic that I was going to have to dump.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Poor choice of words there, by the way.
I ran through my healthcare benefits this year in like 4 dentist appointments.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so I agree with you on that front.
Hey, so what do you think about the Texans' offensive line?
They play like they... Anyway, there's a transition there.
780-3776. If the Texans had a good offensive line, Will, how good do you think their record would be?
Well, I don't understand why the Texans wasted their last two off seasons getting two used running backs. I mean, this is not Saquon and McCaffrey we're talking about. I mean, I think if you run through all the games, they're 9-1. If you have a decent internal O-line, I mean, week one at the Rams, lost by 5. Week two at the Bucks, lost by 1. Week three at Jacksonville, lost by a touchdown. Well, we lost to the Seahawks in a close one, too?
Sort of.
Yeah, it was a one-possession game, but it was probably bigger than a one-possession game.
I just don't understand if you're taking, if you're taking your roster construction seriously, I don't understand why, what the deal is with Mixon and Nick Chubb.
Yeah, the Mixon thing's probably why they signed Chubb, but I see like you're spending a decent amount of money on two over-the-hill running backs that aren't giving you much. Like you're being outproduced by Woody Marks, which, I mean, credit to Nick Caserio for drafting Woody Marks. And also, like, where in the world is Joe Mixon? Like, that's – he's not playing again. He's not – I don't think he's going to be a Houston I don't believe that Joe Mixon will ever wear the Houston Texans uniform ever again.
Hey, he got his operation done in Florida. Caserio had no update on him.
Yeah. Caserio was on with PP the other day, who do a great job interviewing Caserio. Caserio gives them more than he gives, like, the media, which is normal. Like, D'Amico gives John Harris and Vandermeer more than he gives, like, the local media, too, because they're just, it's chummier, it's friendlier, which is good. I mean, you want that rapport.
And why get Chubb if you don't have an O-line? Why?
I think they wanted to.
Why focus on the running back?
He doesn't cost a ton. And you needed somebody else to fill out the room. I think they messed up by not getting Dobbins. Now, Dobbins now is hurt with the foot, ironically. But they do have, over $12 million tied up to Mixon and Chubb, which, maybe that's the price of an offensive lineman. That could have been an upgrade somewhere else. But if they had a quality offensive line, I mean, it's a playoff team. You're looking at probably at least a 7-win team, 7-3. Is that far fetched? Is that fair? I think that's fair.
Yeah, the only loss they've had so far that I don't think anything changes the result is that Seattle game. Like Seattle, I know it ended up being a 1-score game at the end, but it felt like Seattle thoroughly dominated that game.
We should have beat Denver too.
Yes, yeah, I think you could flip the Denver game, the Rams game, certainly. the Bucks game and the first Jaguars game. The only tough part about that, when you're, if we're trying to place the blame on the offensive line for those games, now you could argue, well, they'd score more before these moments. But, I mean, Dare fumbled away the Rams game. Henry Toa'o'a missed tackle cost you the Bucks game. Nico Collins fumbled away the first Jaguars game. So, and then I believe Henry Toa'o'a was on the wrong side of a Bo Nix scramble that also led to their winning drive in that game. So it wasn't in the big moments the offensive line that cost them ultimately. I mean, you could argue, again, they would score more quarters one through three leading up to that moment, to where that moment doesn't matter, but those big moments weren't the offensive line.
Yeah, I see your point, though. Like, the need should have been more the offensive line. I think it's a tough challenge to build an offensive line through trade and free agency, though. You look at some of the better offensive lines, like they build through the draft. Now, you could question how much leeway or grace Nick Caserio gets for hitting. Are we considering it a hit yet on Tay Ursary? Like, I don't know if that's a hit yet. I think jury's out. Yeah, I do. Well, I feel good about it. I feel good about it.
I feel better.
But I'm not ready to call it a hit.
Yeah, I feel like he's in a better place than Blake Fisher was. He's in a way better place than Kenyon Green. Like, it's been his best draft pick so far. Juice Scruggs also. It's definitely his best draft pick. I just don't know if he's going to be a plus starter yet.
Yeah. So they call those doctors that do the colonoscopies proctologists.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should have known that from Seinfeld, the ass man.
Jake?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but no, that classic episode.
People, by the way, people in New York are like crushing Jake right now.
Oh, for what? His Jets.
His hate
craziness?
Of Aaron Glenn.
Oh.
He's being called a lot of things in New York right
Troy
now.
Aikman things?
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, they're not liking Jake a whole lot right now in New York. He and Tannenbaum apparently got into it, which I'm not a big Tannenbaum fan.
I'm about
fan.
To say, I think I might side with Jake on that one.
Yeah.
Tannenbaum, remember, predicted the Titans to win the AFC South before the year started.
So Fred and AJ got a prostate exam live on the air.
They really?
Yeah, I knew there was something similar to that.
I don't remember that.
I remember vaguely, clearly. I don't know how clear it was. Someone said I got it done last year. My dad passed away from it, caught stage one in mine, and got it removed. See, look, like this is the sincerity of it. Like I do think you should be screened sooner rather than later. The sooner you catch it, the better. Another junkie. I'll get one too if you get a discount for 97.5 ESPN listeners. I'm telling you, proctologists that are out there that are listening, slide into my DMs. Jeremy Branham, before you slide into other things, slide into my DMs, and we can make something happen here. Let's do lunch.
Hopefully it's not promo code KILLER B.
I don't know why that's funny. That doesn't even make sense.
Well, because some of your other live reads, unfortunately, were still promo code KILLER B months after.
That's not even funny.
Are you laughing?
I know, because it's so dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm just trying to think of what the promo code, and I hope it's not KILLER B.
We could probably get creative with a promo code, too. Yeah.
Texans are 14-1 to win the AFC South right now. What do you think about that?
I think you'd be burning your money on fire. I actually have the Texans ticket to win the AFC South.
What part, there's what part value. Of the season
I got
it?
Like week five or so. I got it at plus 600. I got it at plus 600 whenever I did it. I bet three futures, actually, at the time. I bet a Texans future for plus 600. I bet a Seahawks. These are all division championship futures. I bet a Seahawks division championship future at plus 300 and a Patriots division championship future at plus 300.
We'll definitely get one.
Yeah, if I get one, I'm even. So.
Yeah, I think you get the Pats.
YOLO.
Seahawks is 50-50. Well, maybe 30-70.
To win it?
Yeah.
No, they're minus money to win it now.
But the Rams are ahead with the...
Oh,
I know,
I
know
said,
they have
my
the rematch.
I thought you said Patriots.
No. Yeah.
I thought you said Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots are going to win. I think you'll catch that, no problem.
What? I don't know, man. They still play one more time.
Be in New England, though. I mean, they got the win in Buffalo earlier.
The Texans could really help me out Thursday.
They really could.
Come on. Swarm! Like you've never swarmed before. 713-780-3776. Let's talk about the coaching carousel a little bit. 713-780-3776. Lane Kiffin going where? He's disputing reports. Is there a dark horse candidate? Maybe dark horse candidate for an SEC school. 713-780-3776. Will Doctor's in for Joe George. Where is Joe today? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. If you haven't heard about Higgins Boat Rum, you need to. You need to get your hands on some Higgins Boat Rum. Sooner the better, too, by the way. You're about to be spending a lot of time with the family. And what do you like to do whenever you're spending a lot of time with the family? You like to have some booze. And if you're going to have some booze, it should be Higgins Boat Rum. It is rum anchored in time. It's so good, this Higgins Boat Rum. Texas bourbon drinker's rum. That's why I went to it like a fish to water. It is bold. It is smooth. It is steeped in history. Also honors the greatest generation. I like mine on a big rock. It's perfect to sip neat. It's perfect on the rocks. Higgins Boat Rum, excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. I've been drinking my Old Fashioned with it. I love it. Some people drink their Manhattan with it. That's gotten great reviews. It's got the classics, too. It's great for your classics, the Pina Colada, the Mai Tai. I like to say a Cuba Libre. It's perfect with all of them. Higgins Boat Rum also pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named, you might know this, after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans. So you're honoring heroes with every single pour. Higgins Boat Rum uses the Prosecco Craft technology. We've grown to know that as a over the time. Prosecco Craft technology gets rid of all the harsh elements, all the bad stuff that makes you feel bad in the morning, but it also makes it smoother, enhances the natural flavors, enhances the aromas. You can follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their social media accounts. You're going to get wonderful cocktail ideas. You're going to get the behind-the-scenes stories and the live updates of your new favorite rum. It's a premium top-shelf rum at a great price. You can get yours at the Total Wine in Baybrook or online, HigginsBoatRum.com. You're looking for a gift to send to somebody. It ships to 48 states across the U.S. Would they like some Higgins Boat Rum? You're darn right they would. So order now at HigginsBoatRum.com. Bring home a bottle of courage. Going to give away some U of H tickets in about, I'm not going to tell you when. We're going to do it in a little bit. 713-780-3776. Go Cougs. 8-2 Houston Cougars, well, number 23 team in the country, according to the College Football Committee. Well, who's your college football team?
For the Houston Cougars, for sure.
Let's go.
You know?
Let's go.
I just want, Jeremy, I just want odds on Lincoln Riley to Auburn. That is all I'm looking for.
Okay. So
where are they?
Whenever you put this out there, I was like, what in the world is he talking about? Because I haven't seen this at all. Like, you think there is value in Lincoln Riley to Auburn?
Yeah, no, I don't know much about college football, Jeremy. I have a source who is very close to Bob Demas, who is on Auburn's board. And my source is not convinced at all that Demas is going to hire Summerall, that he'd make Durkin the full-time head coach. You know, with all these guys that they're still paying. I mean, Malzahn, Harsin.
They're still paying Malzahn?
Freeze.
Wow.
You know, why can't you just drop $15 million a year on Lincoln Riley?
All right. I think Lincoln Riley's a very good coach. What do you think the this is why I wanted you on, Will, because I like your spicy takes. Because right now, you're either going to be brilliant, and this is going to be like no one saw this coming. You're putting it out there. Wow, we have it first right here on Jeremy and Joe. Or you might be on the Mount Rushmore of Bad Take Boulevard this one. So that's what I like. I like hot takes. I like spiciness. I like the all in, all or nothing. I appreciate that. I don't like the fence riding.
I don't think being Lincoln
on one side or the other, right down the middle. I don't like that stuff.
Don't you think Lincoln's going to come back to the South eventually?
I don't know, man. Like, L.A.'s like a nice place to live, I guess. Depends on who you ask.
I mean, I think you've said you'd never want to live there.
There's a lot of reasons of, like, it's pros and cons to L.A. L.A. is a beautiful place. There is a lot of beauty in and around L.A., Los Angeles. I love the beaches there. Laguna Beach, unbelievable. Love me some Laguna Beach.
He's chilling right now. He's in La Playa right
now. There are some other things that happen in L.A. that people wouldn't want to live there. I'm not going to dive into all of those reasons. But would I want to live on the beaches of California or in Auburn, Alabama?
Option A. Yeah, pretty clearly.
Option L.A. So what do you think the chances of
travel, recruiting, doesn't that get a lot easier in the South?
Not sure how many head coaches are traveling to recruit these days. I think it's okay. Well, maybe a little bit. But like, hey, I love you. Here's what we're going to give you in NIL. This is what we're going to give you in rev share. What do you think the chances of this happening are?
I think there's no odds on it right now. So I don't know. I think I'd give it like a...
Like, put it on a percentage. Like, you're this confident that this would happen.
Yeah, I'm going to give it about an 11% chance of happening.
That's pretty high.
Because that's John high. Summerall, I mean, what has he done to coach? Who is he sent to
the NFL? I mean, he's looking like a playoff team. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really been in spots that make it conducive to have NFL players.
I just see the thing with Summerall that, you know, his family is from, his wife is from Auburn. You know, those are like the main reasons he's touted as being a candidate. Does that really matter post NIL era?
I'd rather have Lincoln Riley. Yeah. I mean, if you're giving me the option and you know, I can pick. I can hand pick either one and they're coming for sure. I mean, I'm taking Lincoln Riley 9 times out of 10. Now, I like Summerall, but I'm not taking him over Lincoln Riley.
Will USC ever have a defense?
I don't know. I'll have a Trojan defense, Will.
Where is Lincoln Riley to Auburn numbers?
I don't think they exist.
I don't believe
anybody thinks this is feasible.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it if I were Lincoln. I mean, not only for the quality of life in the town you're living in, but like if you're in LA, like UCLA football has basically been dead for how long? I mean, you own the city, whereas you go to Auburn, you're right next to the Crimson Tide. Like having to go toe to toe with them for every recruit, I think it's a far easier path for USC.
What's Auburn gonna do? But go full time with DJ Durkin? I mean,
I think they'll hire one of the coaches that we've like discussed. I think Summerall would make sense there. I think Summerall would be a great hire there. Not as good as Lincoln. I just don't know if Lincoln's like actually on the table.
Fair.
You know what I mean? I think Summerall's underrated. I mean, he's got Tulane in the playoffs, baby. He's winning in a tough
for now
American.
So the James Madison Dukes take it over.
I think there's a lot of openings though. To your point, Will. And I don't think that the cachet of candidate equals the amount of openings. That doesn't mean it's not a quality coach. I'm talking cachet. I'm talking clout. Because I think there's a lot of quality coaches that are going to do pretty good. Summerall being one of them. This junkie says Eric Morris from North Texas is about to get paid. I agree. I think Eric Morris would make sense at a lot of places. I think he'd be a home run at Arkansas. If TCU moves on from Sonny, I think he'd be a home run at TCU. I like Eric Morris quite a bit. I like what Eric Morris is doing. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting carousel. Just tuned in, Will, love your golf show. He said, is Charlie okay? Notice you're rolling solo. He just retired, right?
Yeah, Charlie just retired. Now, I appreciate, you know, everything he's done. He had a great run, 40 years on air hosting the Golf Hour. At 81, you know, time to step away for him.
Yeah, he deserves it. He deserves it. What a career he's had. He left East Carolina, he being Lincoln Riley, and lived in Norman. Auburn will be fine. Don't you dare talk poorly about the fine people of Norman, Oklahoma. Norman, Oklahoma has the most beautiful people that I've ever seen. My wife's from Norman. 713-780-3776. Lincoln Riley is Cliff Kingsbury. He's had way more college success. Lincoln Riley has won way more at the college level than Cliff did at Texas Tech.
Cliff Kingsbury had a losing record with Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. Lincoln Riley's produced, what, 3 Heisman winners? 4
yeah,
Heisman winners?
That's not a fair comparison.
No, that's a bad take.
Like, I see where you're coming from because like, they're both handsome offensive geniuses. But Lincoln Riley's career resume puts Cliff Kingsbury's college resume to shame, at least as a coach.
Yeah, it's not even close.
As a football coach. There's other resumes where Cliff is probably better than Lincoln.
Lincoln, Jalen Hurts. Who are Lincoln's other husband?
Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams. Is there a fourth one?
I think there's only 3.
Maybe there's only 3. Okay.
Still pretty good.
Who does Cliff have?
I don't think Cliff has a Heisman.
Yeah. No, I mean, he had Patrick Mahomes.
He had Mahomes,
losing
but Mahomes didn't win a Heisman. He was good, though. He's throwing for like 500 yards a game. Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah. He put a big number for sure. Just didn't win.
Where do you think Lane ends up?
Florida.
Really? I think he stays at Ole Miss.
I think he stays at Ole Miss as well.
Yeah, I've been waffling on Lane, I'm not going to lie. But I think he's going to stay.
Just a gut feel?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the reports of him like being given an ultimatum were false. I don't believe that was true.
I do agree with that part.
He went on Mac. Not that what his words matter here, but it's just a feeling that I had anyways. And then he went on McAfee. Because I think it's stupid. Like, why would you give your current head coach an ultimatum on when he has to make a decision? It's an empty threat. So I never really believed it anyways.
I feel like you can't lose at Florida. And Lane is chilling at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Like, he could have a couple losing records at Ole Miss and it'd all be fine, right?
I think so. Yeah. And like...
That's not the case at Florida.
Ole Miss, like, he has built Ole Miss already. Like, what is he going to go do at Florida? Try to build it like Ole Miss? He's already rolling at Ole Miss. Now, LSU's a different story. I think LSU's a really good job.
I wouldn't want to stop. I don't know. I was turned off by how the governor got involved. Maybe that's been overblown.
I think so.
It probably is overblown, but that turned me off. I wouldn't want to get involved. That feels like a very messy structure in their organization.
Yeah, I think it's been overblown.
Maybe so.
Who do you think they get? Who are the odds-on favorites for LSU right now?
I think Summerall was the odds-on favorite, at least at one point. Those probably have changed, but...
Where does LSU rank in NIL spending in the SEC?
See, that's what makes these jobs tough to like know how good they are. But I think it's pretty high.
Like, where do they...
They're probably behind Bama.
Didn't that hospital get into trouble for, like, funneling money into LSU for a while? Like, back whenever NIL was not a thing.
I believe it, but I don't know.
No, I think it was. I think there was, like, they were funneling money into LSU. Like, I think they almost got into trouble. But they didn't because they're LSU.
I would assume they're behind Texas A&M, probably Bama, Georgia.
Auburn?
No, I bet they outspend
Auburn.
I think
they have more than Auburn. But, I mean, we're guessing, right?
I guess there are probably five, but it's purely a guess.
So, the odds that this is from yesterday,
so
2 days ago.
That is not as appealing of a job anymore.
LSU?
Yeah.
I disagree. I mean, if you're fifth in the SEC in NIL money, that's pretty good. I mean, they're going to get five teams into the playoffs. And I thought whenever Tom Herman joined us the other day, he brought up a good point, how LSU is the only university in their state, right? You got Louisiana and Tulane, but they're the only powerhouse university in their state. You look at Texas, you got Texas, you got A&M, you got University of Houston. LSU, you have LSU, you know, in Louisiana. These odds have Kenny Dillingham 3-1 as the favorite. They have Nick Saban 4-1.
Throw out Nick Saban.
Throw out the top two. I don't think Dillingham's going anywhere. Dillingham's been staunch on I'm staying.
No, I don't really think – I don't really take that much into account, but I hear what you're saying. But, yeah, Saban's not coming back.
They have Summerall at 10-1, third favorite. Joe Brady, fourth favorite at 13-2, plus 650. They have Lane Kiffin and Dan Lanning tied at 7-1. Makes sense.
Wasn't Joe Brady the favorite at Penn State also?
I think that faded. He was at one point,
okay.
Yeah, I think that is faded. He makes sense at LSU. I mean, he was the OC when they won the Natty.
Who did James Franklin sign with yesterday?
Va Tech. Not Tech, Brian. Va.
I didn't say Tech.
You said Tech yesterday.
Did I?
Okay. No, that was Joe. Joe called him Tech, and I said, you can't say that in Texas. There's only one Tech in Texas, and it's Texas Tech. They're out in the plains. Got it?
Franklin was in that Auburn conversation there for a minute.
He would have made sense at Auburn. Kind of a, this is going to be an interesting cycle. All right, 713-780-3776. Hall of Fame. You're going to see some Hall of Fame voting in a little bit coming up in Major League Baseball. Who are two former Astros that deserve to be in? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe. No Joe. We'll doctor in for Joe. Where is Joe? Wrong answers only. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What do you think of the nickname they have for me? Boys gave to me, Brian and Joe. They call me the Huntington Bank Bad Boy.
Is that accurate?
You think they did a good job with that nickname?
We didn't give him that name, Will.
Was it the Veritex Bank?
Yeah, they
Bad
merged,
Boy before?
Or they got bought out, something like that.
Brandon self-glossing.
What? I've never heard of that.
I thought you listened to Rome back in the day. That was a Rome.
He would say glossing?
Yeah, he didn't like it when people quote-unquote self-glossed, which is give yourself a nickname.
I thought gloss was like a new word.
No, this goes back to the 90s.
Yeah, I didn't know that. 713-780-ESPN. Wrong answers only. Where is Joe George today? He's not here. Joe's at the proctologist. Joe's currently pre-gaming for his colonoscopy at Taqueria de Jalisco. Joe is practicing as a proctologist today. That's a turn of events. He's the proctologer? That's terrible. Where is Joe? He wandered into the wrong studio and is now co-hosting a gardening podcast with full confidence.
What is he, hanging out with Tom Tynan?
Two Thumb Tynan, what they call him. I used to garden during COVID because I was bored. I enjoyed it. Whenever I stopped working, I think I'm going to dabble in the gardening again.
40 years from now?
Yeah. Yeah, I did enjoy it. I think Cliff was the OC at A&M for Manziel. That is true. But are we giving him credit for that? Do we give him credit for that as being the OC?
Who was the coach? Head coach, was that Mike Sherman?
No, that was Sumlin.
Tom.
Oh, it was Sumlin? Yeah, no, I wouldn't necessarily give Kingsbury the credit.
Yeah, Cliff was the OC at U of H under Sumlin and took Cliff with him to
Right, that's right.
Yep. Sumlin had Case and then he had Manziel. Talk about a way to make a career, huh? Who honestly wants to live in Baton Rouge? They have a casino there and it's the capital of Louisiana.
That's a selling point?
Do you know what Baton Rouge is? A French word or two words.
Rouge is red.
Okay.
I don't know what baton is.
It's kind of obvious. It's kind of obvious.
Stick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's red stick.
That's why I brought up NIL, because What's the appeal to LSU in 2025?
That hospital. They funnel money. It's like a Ponzi. I don't know that to be true.
We have Bernie Madoff there.
I don't want to say that. Glaze is the new gloss. I was thinking Glaze. Yeah, I confused the two. That's my bad. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Hall of Fame stuff. It's starting to ramp up again. The ballots out there and stuff. Are there any former Astros that you think should be in the Hall of Fame, Will?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Lance Berkman, number one, and Carlos Beltran, number two. Berkman, wouldn't you say Berkman's probably the third best switch hitter of all time behind Chipper
and Mantle?
And you could put Beltran in there, too.
Yeah.
There's an argument there that he's the third best, yeah.
They did Berkman dirty by taking – I mean, he's already off the ballot, which is so dumb.
Well,
so,
he was only there for, what, 1 year?
Yeah. He didn't get enough. Robbed. I think it's 10% of the vote that you need to get.
Yeah.
So he has to get in via the –
like the veterans list, and I think it's not up for a while.
Which – how often does that happen?
It happens. I think that's how Fred McGriff got in, right?
I think so, yeah.
No, it happens. Yeah.
What do you think about OPS?
I'm down for it. You know me. I'm down with OPS.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, Berkman had a better career in OPS.
Sorry, you couldn't let that joke go. I think Will's confused right now. Brandon just hit the ultimate dad joke. You down with OPS?
Yeah, you know me.
Now I think Will's just getting it.
No, I'm an OPS fan. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay, anyway, continue.
I'm wondering how you rank it as far as all-time greats are concerned. Like, when you see Berkman has a better career OPS than, you know, Tony Gwynn, Dave Winfield, Paul Politar, all these guys who are in the Hall of Fame. I mean,
who's that?
What do you?
Sorry.
Plus, yeah. Berkman's been better in the postseason than all four of those guys. I mean,
no, I couldn't agree more. I think they did Berkman so dirty.
Is it a personal thing?
No, I don't think he's like Ty Cobb, you know? I don't think he's, who else was like Ted Williams? Like, Ted Williams was famously like never given MVPs because they didn't want to vote for him and they liked Joe DiMaggio more. Like, you go look at some of the years Joe DiMaggio won the MVP over Ted Williams and it's a joke. It is a laughingstock. But I don't think we look at, you know, Lance Berkman as an unlikable guy. Maybe he didn't like market himself all that great, you know, in the vote. Like, that's something you have to politic a little bit. Like, look at Billy Wagner's first few years with the vote. He was getting very few, very few. Then you start politicking a little bit, and then he gets in the final year. I think maybe he struggled a little bit there. I think he gets knocked because he wasn't a great defender, which I think is kind of silly. I don't think he was a great defender. But he wasn't, like, known for his defense. Like, you brought up the offensive numbers. He's one of the greatest. He's one of the – I have a hard time saying greatest. He's one of the best switch hitters offensively that we've seen in the history of the game. I think in this generation, the Lance Berkman generation, I think there are two switch hitters that stand out beyond anybody else. I think it's Chipper Jones and I think it's Lance Berkman. And the fact that Berkman is first ballot off and Chipper Jones is in, I think it was a crime.
Berkman can move around there in the outfield. Puma can move around. He can
climb up
that hill.
He played all three outfield positions at one point.
He did, but he wasn't good.
No.
Not in terms of defensive metrics.
He did have some sneaky speed. He occasionally stole some bags.
But you brought up like the OPS.
He did.
He had a 86 in his career.
Yeah.
That's not zero.
That's not zero.
You brought up the OPS. I like to look at the OPS plus because it like neutralizes it a little bit. It makes it easier. Like, because the average OPS plus is 100, neutralizes for the era, neutralizes for the ballpark, all that stuff. Chipper Jones' OPS plus was 141. Berkman was 144. Like, you can make the – and look, Chipper had the counting numbers – 468 home runs. Lance Berkman had 366. Chipper had over 1,600 RBIs. Berkman had 1,200. So, like, the longevity favors Chipper. The fact that he played a premium defensive position favors Chipper in terms of how they would argue it. But I'm with you. I think Lance Berkman was one of the better switch hitters, especially of his generation. I thought he got done dirty. I think he should be a Hall of Famer. The Beltran thing.
All-time center fielder, Jeremy.
Really good. Really good, Beltran. It depends on how you're looking at the whole sign-stealing stuff. Personally, for
wow.
me... Why? What do you mean, wow?
I didn't think about that.
He's kind of the godfather
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I think he is the godfather of it. Yeah. Personally, for me, I don't care about it because I think everybody was stealing signs. I think that people... Like, they're making a mountain out of a molehill whenever they look at that. Every team in baseball had some form of electronically stealing signs. And you know what else? They all knew it. You know how I know they all knew it? Because they were all using multiple signs as a catcher when there was nobody on base. They were all aware of it. They all knew it. So I think all of that's stupid. But also, I think like Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. I think Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. So maybe my moral standard isn't as high as some of these pretentious baseball writers that vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame. But how are you telling the story of the game of baseball and you don't have Barry Bonds, who is the greatest baseball hitter ever, not in it? How do you not have Roger Clemens in it? Yeah, so that's I hate the Hall of Fame, quite frankly, Will. You brought up a sore subject.
Yeah, I see the Beltran and Berkman postseason numbers, and they're just up there, you know, all time. I mean, and you look at, remember Beltran in the 2004
insane
playoffs?
Eight
home runs in 12 games?
In two rounds, yeah.
I think at the time, that record might be broken, but I think at the time that was tied with the most postseason home runs with Barry Bonds.
Didn't a Rosarena tie it?
Yeah, I think Beltran had the record.
He had it, and I think Rosarena tied it in the COVID year.
And I think it's been broken since. Because there's extra playoff rounds now.
Yeah, because Rosarena had an extra round in 2020 because they expanded the playoffs.
Yeah, he went nuts, too.
But, like, to Will's point, though, I think Rosarena had four rounds.
Rosarena broke it. He had 10.
Okay.
He had 10 that year.
He had four rounds. Beltran did it in two.
Yep.
And one of those was, you know, the five games. Well, I guess Rosarena had a short series too, but it was, like you said, what, 12 total games?
Yeah.
So it has been
eight
done.
It's crazy.
So Bonds actually was the first one to hit eight. But Bonds did it in 02. He
Beltran
had eight
tied
home runs. Beltran tied Bonds. Three other guys have since tied Beltran: Nelson Cruz, Corey Seager, Adolis Garcia. And then a Rosarena has the record of 10. He did that in the COVID year.
I think Beltran probably has like five times more appearances in the postseason than any of those guys. I wonder how many postseason games Beltran played. It's a lot.
I mean, think of the teams he played for: the Giants, the Cardinals, the Yankees, I mean, the Astros, all teams that are making the playoffs.
Yeah, and then won a World Series too, yeah, with the Astros.
I don't think he made a playoffs with the Mets.
Probably not.
Kaz Matsui at second base.
Anal fissures.
Astros legend, Kaz Matsui.
It's a fact.
Yeah, he had anal fissures.
Uncle Barney says Lance was never on steroids either. How could you tell? No, I agree. I'm just kidding. You could tell that Lance wasn't. Was on hot dogs.
He was they gave him the Big Puma nickname for a reason, right?
That Rice team that had him when he hit like 40-something home runs, they had Damon Thames at shortstop. Shout out Humble High School. He was a stud, too. That Rice, he had like 46 home runs in a college season.
How is Berkman not the head coach at Rice?
That's a conversation we need to have over Higgins Boat Rum, Will. There's a lot.
Some politics.
There's a lot. Nah.
He's the best Rice baseball player of all time.
And a lot of times, great baseball players, great players, don't make great head coaches. Wayne Graham didn't think that he worked hard enough. I'll just put it out there.
He was
a volunteer assistant there, and then all of a sudden he wasn't a volunteer assistant. Why? Wayne Graham didn't think he worked hard enough. And then, I mean, Lance's record at HCU. Not good.
There's some epic videos of him coaching at HCU, getting into it with some umps.
He's back at Rice, though. I think he's an assistant for Pierce. Yeah. No, he's back over there, though. I think that's the perfect role for him. He should be an assistant at Rice. I think that's the perfect spot for him. And I love him as a player. Love me some Lance Berkman. Speaking of universities in this city, the greatest university in this city, the University of Houston, the highest-ranked university in the city, 23rd-ranked Houston Cougars, 8-2 on the season. Senior Day coming up on Saturday. It's going to be a beautiful day. Kickoff at 3 against the Horned Frogs of TCU. You're going to want to be there. You can get your tickets, 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com. Tickets are just $25. Come early, be loud, wear red. Giving away a pair right now, 713-780-3776 to caller number 4. Caller number 4, 713-780-3776. You're headed to see Houston and the Horned Frogs of TCU Saturday at TDECU Stadium. That's a lot of TCU, TDECU. But TDECU, Saturday at 3, final home game of the year. 713-780-ESPN, Junkie of the Day. We'll get to some of the golf plays as well coming up on the PGA with Will, because Will knows ball. He knows golf. We'll do that next. It's Jeremy and Joe with Will on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Owner of the Weiss Megan for dinner tonight. That sounds good. Anyways, Will Doctor in for Joe today. Joe will Joe be here by Friday? He's scheduled. Oh. He has a scheduled day off tomorrow.
Convenient.
Yeah. A little scheduled day off tomorrow. He's scheduled to work on Friday. Will he make it back by Friday? Guys, what a rhetorical question.
Yeah, he'll be back. Of course he will.
He's a dog?
I'm a dog.
Joe's a dog. Brian, do you think he'll be back?
50-50.
Sheesh.
50-50. I don't know. I mean, look, if it's legit, maybe he's got something that we don't want him back by Friday with.
Yeah, stuff usually runs its course in a short period of time.
Phrasing.
I'll take Joe's going to rally at 5-1.
What's
higher? I feel like the odds there are not proportional.
Better odds. I'm forgetting the... Why am I forgetting the coach's name? Joe's back by Friday, or
Lincoln Riley
goes to Auburn.
Now oh, by the way, talking. Lincoln Riley, Kyler Murray, another Heisman.
Yeah, so it was four.
Murray,
I was
the
four.
Only player actively playing that was drafted in the first round of major pro sports. Greatest athlete walking planet Earth currently. What's that?
Can you be the greatest athlete when people don't really want you to play either?
I'd like to see him in the diamond. I wonder what that would look like now.
I am curious about that. Yeah.
I would like to see what that looks like. I saw Pat I actually called the game where Pat Mahomes played baseball. Houston, Texas Tech. Pat Mahomes. I think it was at Minute Maid, actually. Anyways, I move on. Which tour do you think Tiger Woods plays on when he plays competitive golf the next time?
The next time we see him is probably going to be the Masters.
Okay.
The only reason that there's going to be a bit of a problem is when you think about, there's been a lot of players that have come out and said, you know, Tiger, the PGA Tour is unsure what tour they're going to want Tiger to play in 2026. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, he'll switch time between the PGA Tour and Champions Tour. You know, he'll play the Masters and play Jack's Tournament, and then he'll play the Senior Majors. But if Tiger, like let's say the Insperity Invitational in the Woodlands and the Byron Nelson in Dallas are the same week. So the Byron Nelson is on CBS. Scottie Scheffler plays in it every year now. That's going to be on, that's primetime CBS. But every time that Tiger plays on the Champions Tour coverage will get bumped from Golf Channel to NBC.
Yeah.
So then you have Scottie contending at the Byron at the same time that Tiger's going down the stretch in the Woodlands at the Insperity Invitational, and I don't think the commissioner wants that.
So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because a lot of players think that if Tiger's in contention at a Champions Tour event, all the viewers will go to that and no one will be watching the PGA Tour.
I mean, it's kind of like wrestling, Brian. Like you want the legend to give the rub to the guy that's like he's young, he's going to be around for a while. Mm-hmm. You don't want him to give the rub to the dude who's also walking out the door with him.
I mean, that's a conversation right now with John Cena.
No spoilers.
I'm not spoiling anything.
Do you think the commissioner would have sway here, or does Tiger ultimately has final decision? No.
That's what I thought. And then guys like Billy Andrade and some other Champions Tour guys are like, this is the tour's kind of directing him on where he should go. Because if you look at the schedule, PGA Championship on CBS, same time as the Regents Traditions, it's the first Champions Tour major of the season. There's a lot of crossover between schedules, Jerry.
I had a take the other day that said Tiger on the Champions Tour would outrate any non-major PGA Tour. Cash or trash.
That's correct. Tiger,
yes.
Tiger's still the king. That's why the commissioner's worried about this.
All right, where can our people find your handicapping for golf?
Yeah, well, listen to the Golf Hour every Saturday morning here on ESPN 97.5, 8 to 9 a.m. Follow ESPN 97.5 on social. We got a lot of fun things planned for social on the golf course. You can find the picks on Twitter at DRMedia59 every Tuesday. I appreciate it, Jeremy.
Very good. I enjoyed it as well. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Chancellor Johnson earlier. Brian for the hard work. He's Will Doctor. I'm Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, Destination 2026 with our guy Glenn Davis. We'll talk to you tomorrow from East River 9. Good night, Houston.
I want it in the butt. I want it in the rib cage. I want him to fill it.